Muhammad himself was anxious to avoid an open rift. He had no desire to damage Mecca, the mother of cities. He knew that some of the Quraysh thought that he wanted to become king, an abhorrent idea to the Arabs, who were deeply suspicious of monarchy. But Muhammad had no political ambitions. As if to reassure his critics, God told him firmly that he must not aspire to public office. He was simply a nadir, a messenger with a warning, and should approach the Quraysh humbly, avoid provocation, and be careful not to attack their gods. This is what the great prophets had done in the past. A prophet had to be altruistic. He must not trumpet his own opinions egotistically or trample on the sensibilities of others, but should always put the welfare of the community first. A prophet was first and foremost a Muslim, one of those who have surrendered themselves unto Allah. In his desire to avoid a serious dispute, Muhammad did not, at this stage, emphasize the monotheistic content of his message. Like the Hanifs, he was convinced that Allah was the only God, but he did not at first condemn the worship of the stone idols around the Kaaba or the cult of the three goddesses, the Garanik. Like most of the great religious sages, he was not much interested in orthodoxy. Metaphysical speculation tended to make people quarrelsome and could be divisive. It was more important to practice the works of justice than to insist on a theological position that would offend many of the people he was trying to win over. But tension was growing. In 616, some of the Quraysh attacked the Muslims while they were performing their ritual prayers in one of the glens outside the city. The incident shocked everybody in Mecca, and both sides desperately tried to reach a modus vivendi. This may have led to the notorious incident of the so-called Satanic Verses. The episode is recounted by only two of Muhammad's early biographers, and some scholars believe it to be apocryphal, though it is hard to see why anybody would make it up. Both historians emphasized the desire for reconciliation in the city at this time. Ibn Sa'd starts his account by saying that in his desire to avoid an irrevocable breach with the Quraysh, Muhammad sat down by himself, wishing that nothing be revealed to him that would drive them away. The historian Tabari, however, begins, "When the apostle saw that his people had turned their backs on him, and he was pained by their estrangement from what he had brought them from God, he longed that there should come to him, from God, a message that would reconcile his people to him. Because of his love for his people and his anxiety over them, it would delight him that the obstacle that made his task so difficult could be removed. So he meditated on the project and longed for it, and it was dear to him." One day, Tabari continues, Muhammad was sitting beside the Kaaba with some of the elders, reciting a new surah, in which Allah tried to reassure his critics.